Hi, everyone. Something a bit different this week. This episode of She Explores doesn't have a sponsor, so I decided to feature an artist inspired by the outdoors in this week's mid-roll. So stay tuned for later in the episode. I talk with cartoonist Connie Soon, aka Cartoon Connie, about how drawing comics connects her to the outdoors, the world around her, and herself. I'm Gail Straub, and you're listening to She Explores.
It's pretty difficult to imagine not hiking. It's just been such a huge part of our lives. You know, we've had so many experiences, learned so much.
Yeah, it's like a chunk of our lives.
Yeah, it's a huge chunk of our lives.
Yeah.
I'm definitely glad we got into it.
That alarm, it went off at 3:30 a.m. on a snowy Monday morning a little over 2 weeks ago. I have to admit, I usually only wake up this early for flights or bad dreams, but that day I was expected at a trailhead at 6 a.m., so I brewed up coffee to go, cleaned off my car, and piled my pack and snowshoes in the back. I'm 31 years old. Turn left onto State Road. As I drive north in the darkness, I think, I can't imagine doing this as a teenager. What were you like at 15? It can be such a tough age. You've grown out of so much, but you haven't quite grown into yourself yet. Or maybe that was just me. At 13, 14, 15, I was too old to play and make believe, but I was too young to drive. I didn't know what I was interested in. I watched too much TV. I stayed up late eating popsicles. I was bored all the time, and I thought I had so much of it. But that was my experience. What if you've been pursuing a lifelong passion since you were five? Of all the activities we grow out of in life, there's no saying that you have to grow out of hiking. At the trailhead, I'm meeting sisters Alexandra and Sage Herr. They're 15 and almost 13, respectively. Alexandra, the older, goes by Alex. We're headed out on a winter hike together along Wildcat Ridge with their mom, Trish. Alex and Sage aren't your typical hikers. They started summiting New Hampshire's 4,000 footers at age 5, and they've become embedded in New Hampshire's hiking community. It's a tight-knit and surprisingly small world. As an example, just last week I stayed at Carter Notch Hut in the White Mountains and struck up a conversation with the hut caretaker. Lo and behold, she knew all about Alex and Sage. I found them through their podcast, Granite Gals. In it, they interview female New Hampshire hikers. Their devotion to it stems from their love of taking on hiking challenges in the Granite State. Their mom, Trish, shares how it all started with Alex.
My oldest daughter pretty much introduced all of us to hiking. When she was five, she was full of energy, and I was looking for a way to kind of calm her down and wear her out. And so on a whim, there was a hiking trail near the place that we had in New Hampshire, and I took her there on a whim, not really knowing what I was doing, just kind of hoping she would wear herself out hiking up a mountain.
Yeah, I remember when we tried our first 4K, when I hiked it with mom, we first didn't really know what we were doing. So we just had snow pants and, you know, stuff like that. But it was in the spring and we didn't predict that the snow would be really deep and really soft. We just thought since in the valley, you know, it's kind of warm and, you know, not much snow, it's going to be the same up in the mountains. But of course, that's not true.
And we had to turn around because there was still snow on the ground and I didn't know what I was doing. But that planted a seed in her head, I think, to want to go back and finish that hike at some point. So a couple months later, when the snow had melted, we went back and she hiked to the top and was very proud of herself.
So our first 4K, I believe we turned around on Tecumseh, and then we tried it again, and then that was successful. Yeah, it was. I remember being really happy, and it was so long ago, I don't really remember a lot.
And that really started the whole thing. I made it a point to learn more about hiking and what you should wear and the trails around us and the mountains around us. There's this list in New Hampshire called the 4,000 Footers, and we had just done one of them, and so we started hiking the other mountains on the list. And then her sister, when she got a little older, started joining us on a regular basis, and we've been hiking mountains on a weekly or sometimes every other week basis ever since, and that was in 2008. So it was really a mom's desire to wear out my kid so I could have some quiet time that led to all this, but it was Alex's love of that first hike that started us on this lifestyle, basically, that we're on now.
So, Alex, how would you describe your sister's hiking style?
Well, sometimes I go first ahead of her, and sometimes she goes ahead of me. It really depends on how we're feeling that day. As for hiking, we're pretty similar. You know, we hike at almost the same pace usually, unless one of us is slightly sick, and then obviously we might go a little slower. But for the most part, we hike at the same pace. Since Mom and me and Sage have been hiking together for so long, and for all of since I was 5 and Sage was basically 4, our hiking styles and how fast we hike are pretty synced, I think. So that works out really well.
Sage, how would you describe your sister's hiking style?
Yeah, like Alex said, I think we're pretty similar. I think usually if somebody's going first, if all three of us are hiking together, whoever's first, I think, is usually fastest. But I think if we were just hiking solo, I think we'd be about the same hiking speed.
How do you guys decide who goes first?
Well, Alex, she's planning to do a Pemi Loop. And obviously you have to start when it's really early, so you have to start when it's dark.
Yeah, if there's any spider web breaking or darkness, I'm always going first. Because I have preparation for the Pemi Loop and hiking solo.
I want to take a step back here and introduce some vernacular that's specific to New Hampshire hiking. When the girls say 4Ks or 4,000 footers, there are 48 peaks in New Hampshire that independently rise about 4,000 feet and have at least a 200 vertical feet difference from the closest peak. You can earn a hiker achievement patch for completing them. There are other lists and challenges you can do too. In addition to the New Hampshire 48, the girls have competed the 52 with a view and the Trail Right 72. The Pemi Loop is 31.5 miles in the Pemigewasset Wilderness.
So this summer, I'm preparing to try and hike it myself solo in less than 24 hours. That's my goal. So I'm going to keep hiking and get ready for that in terms of fitness and hiking solo.
What do you like about hiking solo? And do you both hike solo or just Alex?
So right now it's just me, and not in the winter, just in the summer, if I'm familiar with the trail. And Sage doesn't hike solo yet, but she might hike solo this summer. We're
I
not
don't
sure yet.
Because I'm not old enough yet. I mean, I've been hiking for a long time, so I'm pretty experienced, but hiking solo is sort of another ball game. And I think I'm going to start when I'm 13, which will be in 19 days. So we'll see. Yeah, but we hike, if Alex is going to hike solo, it's going to be in the summer or spring, because in winter it's sort of, again, another kind of hiking.
More dangerous to be by yourself in the winter because of hypothermia threats and all that. So anyway, to answer your question, I really love hiking solo, just like I love hiking in a group, but hiking in a group and hiking solo are two very different kinds of hiking, in my opinion. When you're hiking solo, you have to be more aware of your surroundings because it's just you, and you have to make sure you're paying attention, you're going the right way, and it's basically all on you. So you have to be, you're just naturally more observant and your senses get more alert, I think. And I like it because I can just think about whatever I want and not have to worry about any social expectations from other people from hiking in a group. Yeah, it's just kind of freeing.
I guess some things don't change with age. I completely agree with Alex. I want to reiterate that she has 10 years of hiking the White Mountains under her belt, and she's aware of all the precautions she needs to take. When I hiked with the girls and their mom, Trish, we talked about how they assess risk in preparation and while they're on the trail. I asked Trish what her reactions were like when she hiked 4,000 footers with the girls when they were young.
When Alex and Sage were very young, we would get stopped a lot. Most people were really supportive because it was obvious that Alex and then Sage enjoyed being out there. Every once in a while, there would be someone who didn't think that they should be out hiking. I don't know whether that's because it wasn't a father-son thing, it was a mother-daughter thing, or whether it was just a young child thing. You know, at 5, 6, 7, and we winter hiked. We learned how to winter hike in the White Mountains, which can be very dangerous if you don't know what you're doing. But we learned, and so we would get pushback sometimes, but from very few people. And those pushback moments, I think, were actually educational to my kids to see how people react when they're faced with something they're not used to seeing. So in a strange way, I'm kind of grateful for those moments. But once again, most of the reaction was very positive and supportive.
Alex and Sage share why they like a challenge and their motivation for starting a podcast in just a bit. But first, I want to introduce you to Connie Soon, aka Cartoon Connie, and her cartooning.
I think anyone can be a cartoonist.
Connie is a cartoonist on the brink of something. She's just not quite sure what that something is yet. When I talked with her, she was in Taiwan visiting family. She just left her job to pursue comics, cartooning, and more time in the outdoors. She's made a daily comic for 7 years, with titles like Selfie on a Bad Day, Every Cactus Has a Personality, Small Victories, and In Climbing as in Life. They're short, intuitive takes on Connie's daily life, and they're super relatable. Here's why she got started.
I mean, the glib response when I first started was like living in New York and I always needed like a creative outlet and I couldn't get a date. And so let me just like use this as an outlet, like a creative outlet. And it was the best thing I ever did for myself because it was one of those things where, you know, we're all seeking to understand ourselves better. And so cartooning was my process. I didn't know how to be a cartoonist. And so when I started, I just said, well, you know, it's now or never. I was really, really disconnected with my emotions. Like, it was really hard for me to be aware of how I felt at any given moment. And then, you know, when I started getting into the cartooning world, I realized, oh, there's something like this in-between language here.
Connie found that in-between language through climbing, too, even though it was scary at first.
I think like a lot of people, like I struggled at the beginning, but there was something about it that was also very comforting, like in the challenge and the struggle of it. And I kept going. I think I'd like to be less tentative about the way that I live my life. And, you know, I guess the fear will always be there and we're always dealing with that, but it's something that I'd like to not lead with. Like, I don't want to lead with fear. I don't want to live my life with that as the primary motivation for, you know, how I behave. If there's anyone who has that inclination but doesn't think that they can do it, I would say that it's one of those art forms or languages that has a really low barrier of entry. All you need is pencil and paper.
Follow along as Connie takes a leap into the unknown and cartoons about it. Find her at Cartoon Connie on Instagram and Facebook and ConnieWonnie.com. That's ConnieWonnie.com. We're back. Remember all those lists in New Hampshire? Tris talks about what draws her family to take on those challenges.
In New Hampshire, there are all these lists, right? And some people don't hike to lists. They just want to hike when they want to hike. And that's sane and logical, and I respect that. But for us, it took a list to get us started. Like, we didn't know that much when we first started. We just knew there was this list of mountains. And, hey, a lot of people are doing them, and they must have made this list for a reason. People are enjoying it. So here's something we can work on. And then there are a lot of other lists out there, too. So you finish one, and then you start looking around at others. And eventually we made our own list. We made the Terrifying 25, which is a hiking list in New Hampshire of all the most difficult trails. We made it for fun, but now it's a thing. And there's a Facebook page that Alex largely moderates right now, and Sage will when she's a little older, with about 1,500 people on it, and people hike, and we've made, Alex drew a patch and Sage made the name of it, the Terrifying 25, and Alex just finished a formal certificate. Sage has to kind of place the name of the trails on it. We're still working on the certificate, but it's been a few years now since we made it for our own amusement, and then I put it out there on my personal blog, and then people reacted to it favorably, so I moved it to its own website. Now we have our own list out there that people are chasing. It's just fun. It's kind of nice to have a concrete number. And then you finish that goal and you pick something else that appeals to you.
Tell me about the challenge that you guys are both doing right now. Talking to your mom, you guys like doing challenges. You've done the 4,000 footers in New Hampshire. And currently you're doing something called gridding. If one of you could describe gridding for me and for the audience, that'd be great.
Okay, so gridding is doing all 48 of the 4,000 footers in every month of the year. So obviously that's not in 1 year. People have done that, but we're not. So that's 48 times 12, which is 556. No, wait, 576, sorry. Yeah. So that's the number of mountains. So you sort of have to keep track and plan it out. We want to do that before we go to college. So I have more time than Alex because I'm 2 years younger.
To achieve this goal, 576 summits, the girls hike virtually every week. They get up at 3 a.m. because they have other commitments after they hike, classes, homework, karate, and sometimes they're not able to summit. Breaking trail in the winter is laborious and often disorienting. Spring conditions can be muddy and icy and buggy. You aren't guaranteed a view, but these girls like a challenge.
I like challenging myself because if you never push yourself to go further than your comfort zone and cross that line between what's easy for you and what's harder for you, if you never do that, then you won't really have, you know, amazing experiences, and, you know, you won't feel the sensation of being a badass, basically. And so I like challenging myself because that way I can experience more, and I can also get more wisdom in life, if that kind of makes sense, because I'm learning more through experience. The more I challenge myself, the more I push myself to do things that I haven't done before.
Yeah, I mean, I think you should just push yourself to do more, because then if you don't set at least some challenges for yourself, I think you'll just end up not doing a lot. Even if you just say, you know, I want to hike X many times this year, like I want to hike more, then I mean, that's a small challenge. So I think you should set some type of challenge just to try to push yourself to do more.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good motivator for sure. When you finish one, how do you feel? Does it make you want to like work on something else, or is there just a sense of accomplishment?
When we finish a list?
Yeah.
When we finish a list, it's kind of an amazing feeling because, you know, it was really fun, but it's a big commitment, you know, because in a list there are so many mountains, and when it's over, it's just kind of strange because we're done. So it's always good. At least for me, I like to find new things to do so that we're always working on a goal. But it's both happy and sad when you finish a list, in my opinion. What about you?
Well, when I finish something, yeah, like Alex said, it's sort of amazing. You just look back over all the hikes that you've done. And like you said, you just have a sense of accomplishment that you've You've got up at 3 a.m. and done all these hikes and just finished. But yeah, also, I think we want to move on to another list. So we're like, what's next?
In April of last year, Sage and Alex started a podcast called Granite Gals, featuring women hikers across New Hampshire. Since then, they've published 21 interviews. For the most part, the women are accomplished hikers, having accomplished multiple challenges and lists and hikes. I'm an exception to that rule, so I was surprised when they wanted to interview me, but it was fun talking podcasting regardless.
You two started Granite Gals in April of 2017, I think. So why did you want to start a podcast? And whose idea was it?
We both thought that that would be a great idea to interview female hikers in the White Mountains and get different women's perspectives on hiking and their lives in general. We thought it would be great to have women have a voice so they could talk about their experiences as females, as hikers. And it's also a good podcast to hear about some moments in the White Mountains around here.
Yeah, so we just wanted to have female hikers from all different standpoints and all different experience levels just talk about their experiences with hiking and how they started and everything.
Are there any stories that particularly stand out to you now, looking back?
Okay, well, there was one woman who has rheumatoid arthritis, and she did the 48 before, but she was going to do another round after she got rheumatoid arthritis, you know, to fight back against it. She also had a dog, so that was really empowering.
We've had the opportunity to listen to a lot of great stories and meet a lot of interesting people.
Is that one of the things you like about doing the show?
Yeah, definitely. That's one of the main aspects that I enjoy about Sid and I interviewing all these different women. It's very interesting and inspirational.
Yeah.
So you asked me a question about whether I experienced sexism on the trail. What have you heard from other people?
We have a lot of people saying that they don't experience a lot of sexism, but occasionally people will give them comments that are subtle, kind of like what you said.
Oh no, there was one woman so she was a guide. This was one of our first interviewees.
Oh yeah.
So she was a hiking guide. So she took groups of people along with, I think, one other guide, you know, up mountains. So I think one time she was a guide, and then there's another male guide, and then they were leading a group of people. And people wouldn't really, some males just wouldn't really, like, listen to her. So they would ask the other male guide, like, all the questions and just sort of ignore her, because they probably assumed that he would be more experienced, the male guide. So, yeah, that's pretty sexist. And, yes, just some people wouldn't really comply, like when she told them to do stuff, they wouldn't really do it because I don't think they thought she knew what she was talking about.
Very, it must be very frustrating.
Yeah.
Why do you think it's important to ask people that question?
Well, since it's a podcast for females, I think it's nice to address issues that sometimes I think some women might feel uncomfortable addressing in front of men. And as females, we could just talk about issues that only females and women have, because men don't have to deal with sexism, you know? And as females, we all get it, we all understand, and we can all relate to each other's stories.
Yeah, I also think it's important to identify sexism,
yeah,
you know, when you see it. So by asking that question, people sort of think, you know, about that.
I asked Trish about the benefits of making hiking part of your kid's lifestyle.
Assuming your kid wants to hike, number one, because if they're complaining and sitting down and asking, are we there yet, every 2 seconds, then maybe you should find another activity outside for them to do. So if they're into it, first of all, the conversations that you have, Though as my kids get older, they have those conversations with themselves and not so much with mom anymore, which is fine because that's what happens when kids get older, and that's cool. But when they're young, you know, things will come up, and even, I guess, still when they're older, that don't come up at home because you're out there for hours and hours. And so conversations happen that probably would never have happened at home, stuff that they're thinking about. Also, the knowledge that they're strong. You're not telling them, hey, you're strong, you can do anything. They're doing it. They're actually being strong. They're learning it themselves in the moment. And falling and getting right back up, you saw that a couple of times. They both fell. Or we kid each other if it's obvious no one's hurt about, like, falling over. You know, all three of us have taken wonderful falls and gotten banged up and bloody. And as long as it's obvious no one's hurt, it's always like, oh, cool, look at that. Wow, that's awesome. You know, it's just kind of, that's what happens in life. You fall. You get banged up. As you know, if you can get back up, get back up, keep going. That's just life.
Do you have any advice for getting started?
I think just go slowly, you know, go at your own pace, and don't try to force yourself to do really big mountains, you know, to start out. Just do small ones,
and you're getting used to it for at first.
Yeah, and bring the right gear. Obviously, research a lot before you start. Because I think a lot of people think, especially in the summer, they can just, you know, like, hike up to Mount Washington with, like, flip-flops. Like, no, not really, but...
Yeah, make sure you have the right gear, and don't doubt yourself. Just, if you think something's challenging, just go for it. As long as you have, you know, as long as you're being safe, and as long as you have the right gear, and, you know, you have a map, compass, all that. But if you're being safe about it, I think you should just try whatever you want to try and see. Just push yourself. I think that's a good idea. And even if you think you can't do something, you know, just give it a try. You can always turn back if you need to.
All right, one last question. Is there anything that you would like to say to your mom, or anything that you would want her to hear about, like, her nurturing your love of hiking?
Well, I'm very grateful for her getting us out. I mean, I had the motivation, but if it wasn't for her and her accompanying us and helping us on the trail and teaching us life lessons, and if it wasn't for all that, we wouldn't, you know, if it wasn't for her, we wouldn't be able to hike.
Yeah.
So we're very grateful for her, for providing us the opportunity and for being great company on the trail. Do you have anything to add?
Yeah, without her, we wouldn't be able to do all the hikes and the grid. So, yeah, she really motivates us and helps us.
Yeah, and I really enjoy all the discussions we have on the trail. She's a really great company, and I like talking to her and Sage about a lot of different things that we probably wouldn't have time or wouldn't be able to talk about at home. So that's also really great. And we've experienced a lot together. You know, we see nice views, we go to different places, not just the White Mountains, but travel abroad and see different things, and yeah, we've had a lot of great moments. So
that's nice. Well, thank you so much for chatting with me.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
The thing that struck me about these girls, they wouldn't do it if they didn't love it. And while chatting with them made me reflect on my teenage self, I wouldn't change those years of uncertainty for anything. When Trish, Alex, and Sage mentioned the conversations they had on the trail together, it made me think of car rides to school with my own mom. A pocket of time each day when I was neither here nor there, but grateful for her presence. Thanks to Alex and Sage for the reminder that challenges are relative and often a nudge in the right direction. You can listen to their podcast on graniteguys.org. I'm one of their latest interviewees. You can also find it on Apple Podcasts or wherever you stream stories. Learn more about the girls via Alex's hiking blog, www.alexinthewhitemountains.com, and learn more about their hiking challenge, The Terrifying 25, at www.theterrifying25.com. That's theterrifying25.com. I'll be linking all of these on the episode landing page and the show notes.
Thank you to Trish Herr for lining up the interview and planning a hike. Big thanks to Connie for sharing her comics with me. If you enjoyed this podcast, please leave a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. It helps other people find us. And even better, share it with a friend. And if you enjoy She Explores, odds are you'll like our sister podcast, Women on the Road. It's hosted by Laura Hughes and tells stories of life on the road from the feminine perspective. Music is by Lee Rosevere, Josh Woodward, and Kay Engel. Music is also by Siren and the Sea. Until next time, have fun out there.